It's time to preview Steelers versus Jets for the final time. We'll get you ready for the game. I'm Chris Carter here with the Locked On Steelers podcast, joined by Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WPXI. The key to this game will be Blitzberg coming back to the Steelers defense. We'll talk about that, all your week four picks, as well as our final predictions for Steelers Jets right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, please hit the like button on this video if you enjoyed it. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Brightco. Brightco Jewelry and Watch Insurance brings you comprehensive, fast, and affordable jewelry insurance for as low as $5 per month. Check out your special offer for Locked On listeners and get covered in under 2 minutes at bright.co/lockedon. That's bright.co/lockedon. Join me, as I said earlier, Jenna Harner, Channel 11. She's in WPXI right now. How you doing, Jenna?
I am great, Chris. Another week of football. It's fall. The air is, you know, getting a little crisper here. We'll take it. We love it.
It is. It's pure fall weather, and Steelers fans would like some fall football to go with their Steelers football, you know, right now. And they'd like to see some traditional things about the Steelers, and the offense ain't going to be back to what it's like with Ben Roethlisberger. I think anyone that's expecting, like, you know, some resurgence of the offense, you know, they'll probably get better this game. But the thing that we know that they can do, even without TJ Watt in this game, I truly think is going to be getting after the quarterback. We know Zach Wilson is back for the Jets. He's been injured. He's back. But the Jets have a really beat-up offensive line. I talked about that with John Butchko, host of Locked On Jets, on yesterday's Crossover Thursday episode. Go back and check that out if you want to hear all the breakdowns there. But you got Connor McDermott, a third-string left tackle who John was telling me shouldn't even be on the roster at this point. Their right tackle, not exactly, I think it's Max Mitchell, not exactly great either. He's also a backup. They have three offensive tackles right now on injured reserve. Jenna, to me, this is a week where Alex Highsmith, who leads the NFL in sacks, and even Malik Reed, Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, they need to take over this game. The Steelers pass rush has to get back to it. I also think this calls upon Mike Tomlin, Brian Flores, Terrell Austin. This needs to be an aggressive game where they go make a point to go after and get Zach Wilson.
Absolutely, because not only is this Zach Wilson's first game this season, he only has 13 starts in his NFL career up to this point. So you want to make him uncomfortable if you're the Steelers defense. You want to confuse him with the looks that this defense has, but you also want to get after him. You want to make him feel incredibly uncomfortable, because the second you give him a little bit of space to feel a little bit of comfort for him to be able to say, you know, hit a couple balls downfield, if he has the time to do that, that his offensive line is giving him the time. If you're the Steelers defense, you can't let that happen. You need to make his day absolutely miserable. Are they going to be able to do what they did against Joe Burrow week one, get him, you know, five times? I don't entirely think that level, because obviously, again, this team, we've seen they're 0-6 without TJ Watt. So yeah, They're looking to turn that around. But I think you can do that. This is kind of the perfect opportunity to say, hey, here's the little ways that we can get to Zach Wilson. Here's the ways that we can generate that pass rush without our reigning defensive player of the year with us this time, and say, hey, look, we're still going to get after you, because that's been a point of frustration that they talked about with us the last 2 weeks after both the Browns game and the Patriots game, that the defense is saying, we want to get to the quarterback more. We want to be able to make him feel uncomfortable. And I think if you can do that, if you can set the tone early as the defense, you get a sack or two, you really make him, again, feel uncomfortable. Zach Wilson is going to have a long day if the Steelers defense can just get to him and, again, make him have to make quick decisions.
I agree. It's about making him make quick decisions. It's going to be about you know, bringing blitzes from different sides. When you don't have that NFL experience, you know, against a guy like Tom Brady, you know, against guys like Aaron Rodgers, even guys like Lamar Jackson, who have been in the league for a few years now, when you bring blitzes and they're used to seeing it, they'll pick that stuff up on tape and they'll go after you. And sometimes you still bring them, but you got to be smart with how you bring them. Zach Wilson, like you said, doesn't even have a full season under his belt. He hasn't played at all this year. This is his first action. send some pressures up his way. And again, the Steelers defense, the way it was constructed going into this year, was trusting a lot that its front four would get home. And I mean, in the first game, it did. TJ Watt got a sack. Alex Highsmith had 3 sacks. Cam Hayward got up in there. Larry Ogunjobi was helping. You know, there was pressure coming from those guys. You didn't see too many blitzes from the Steelers defense. But I truly think, you know, in the games, Pat, the last two games, the Steelers defense, they've tried to see if they could still win that way. They've held up, but they haven't dominated. And I think this is a game where the defense needs to dominate. The offense might be better and they might be able to win this game, but this is like a kind of a game where I truly think the Steelers defense needs to leave no doubt when they're going after Zach Wilson.
No, absolutely. And it was something really interesting when I was talking with Jerome Bettis earlier this week. We do the Bettis show here at WPXI, but I was kind of asking his thoughts, you know, on the whole offensive situation. And, you know, everybody's talking about bringing Kenny Pickett in at some point. And I know you're probably like, Jenna, we're talking about defense here. What's going on? I promise I have a point to this. He was saying, though, you have to give the veterans on this team a chance to win. You have to give the veterans the chance to say, hey, we can take over games. We are going to do this. You don't need to make a change and, you know, quote unquote, throw in the towel at this point and say, oh, well, the season's kind of over. You need to give your veterans a chance, especially guys like Cam Hayward, because he's been talking a whole lot this week too. He took a lot of it on his shoulders. He's asked about, you know, TJ Watt's absence. And he says, well, I can be better. I can do this. I can be better, you know, more assignment sound, things on those lines. And he put kind of a call out to his team to say, you know, I hope other guys are thinking that way too. And so I think that's a really big factor here is these guys obviously have a lot of pride and they know what they're capable of. They know what this defense can do. They know the limit that they can get to, or I used to say, you know, the sky's the limit type thing for this defense. And I really think that this is that type of game to say, hey, look, you guys are saying all this stuff about the defense. Watch what we're going to do to this new, you know, young, I don't want to say new entirely, but this young quarterback who doesn't have a whole lot of NFL experience. We are going to make his day a very tough one.
I mean, he is a young quarterback. Also, last year, these are just the numbers from Pro Football Focus. When he wasn't blitzed, he had a completion percentage of 60.2, had over 1,700 yards through the air, averaged 6.7 yards per attempt, 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Not great numbers, but remember these numbers. 60.2 completion percentage, 6.7 yards per attempt. When he was blitzed, that completion percentage dropped to 44.7. That's more than 15 percentage points lower when he was blitzed. Also, that yards per attempt dropped almost 2 full yards per attempt from 6.7 to 4.8. He also threw 0 touchdowns and 2 interceptions when blitzed. This, to me, is a call to the Steelers scheme. This doesn't need to just be Alex Highsmith and Cam Hayward and those and Malik Reed and those guys up front. There needs to be blitzes where Devin Bush, Robert Spillane, Miles Jack, and maybe even some of those formations we saw a couple weeks ago where all three of them were on the field and you couldn't tell who was coming. And also Arthur Maulet, maybe even Terrell Edmonds, but bring in guys, force him to think, force him to make quick, rash decisions. He does get skittish in the pocket. I truly think that's a game breaker chance for the Steelers defense this week.
No, absolutely. And I think also too, again, with a young quarterback, especially from, you know, a lot of talk around the league and hearing a lot of people talk about what the Steelers defense does for rookie quarterbacks, it's a really tough defense to read. And I think that's going to make his day a really, really tough. Again, we keep talking about tough days, but I think that's going to be a big part of this where, again, if you can give Zach Wilson confusing looks, if you have three inside linebackers on the field at once, just making him kind of second guess himself a little bit and say, you know, oh, I haven't seen this before. Where am I going to go with this decision? Have to take that, you know, half extra second, full extra second in the pocket where a guy like Cam Hayward, a guy like Alex Highsmith can come in and, you know, lay a big hit, get the sack. I think this will be something that the Steelers defense is going to look back at this tape and say, hey, we have a lot we can build on here. This is really what we did well. This is what we hope to continue to do well as they go into the gauntlet of games they have following this weekend's game against the Jets.
We'll talk more about this game in the third segment, but we got to get you all of our week 4 picks in a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Brightco Insurance. Brightco is jewelry insurance company that will make sure that you get a replacement for the full value of an engagement ring, an expensive watch, or any jewelry, whether it's lost, stolen, or you just can't figure out what happened to it. If you've ever been on a YouTube dive for random fail videos, you've probably seen some guys drop their engagement ring right as they're about to propose, and it falls off a boat, off a helicopter, down a sewer, or you lose it in some ridiculous way and be out of thousands of dollars while being humiliated on the internet. Well, Brightco Costco can't help with the internet part, but they're here to help you get back your hard-earned money that you spent on that ring. So go to bright.co/lockedon to get some of that just one, see those insane videos I was talking about, but also learn how you can get insurance as cheap as $5 a month on expensive jewelry. Again, that's bright.co/lockedon for your really comprehensive and cheap expensive jewelry insurance. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. She's Jenna Harner from Channel 11 WPXI. Jenna, let's get to the picks real quick here. We're in a bit of a bind here because we got time constraints and we're trying to get everything done as we're both busy individuals. So I'm not going to have a chance to go over our winners last week, but keep competing. We have an ESPN Pick'em League. Look it up. It's in the description. It's on our Locked On Steelers Facebook group. DM me on Twitter at Carter Critiques if you need to get into the group. But let's get to these games right away. We got our first England game of the year, Vikings at Saints. Vikings 2-1, Saints 1-2. I'm going with the Vikings in this one. It seems like Dalvin Cook will play this week, and that's a big factor for me.
Yeah, Chris, I'm with you on this. I think the Vikings have just a better offense overall. And I think London games are kind of always wonky. I feel like it almost has the feel of a Thursday night game where we heard Mike Tomlin talk leading into the Thursday game last week talk about there's a lot of things you kind of rest your hat on. You go back to basics in a little way. And I think the Vikings just have that more of a, hey, we know what we're going to do with this offense type thing. We know what works for us. I think they're going to win this game. But, hey, it'll be fun across the pond, right?
It will be fun. 2-1 Browns at 1-2 Falcons. Browns coming off a longer break from Thursday night football, feeling good off the win. They're running the football well. I think the Falcons, they're too inconsistent of a team. I'm going with the Browns in this one. They just ride Nick Chubb to another win and get to 3-1.
Yeah, it's funny because I think the last time I looked at the line on this game, it was Browns favored by just 1.5, and that seemed very low to me. The Falcons are frisky. They've been in games. They've kind of had a couple intriguing numbers where you look at them, you're like, wait, really? But the Browns run game, I mean, this was a team that has their backup quarterback, and Jacoby Brissett has kind of been exceeding expectations a lot here. So I think the Browns will win this game. But, hey, this feels like it might be a little bit closer, too. I don't think as close as the 1.5 line that is current or that last check at it had. But, yeah, I'm intrigued by this one.
Bills at Ravens for a game of the week category type of game. 2-1 Bills, 2-1 Ravens. Jenna, I'm going with the Ravens at home. The Bills are really hurt up on defense. I think that could be a factor that Lamar Jackson taps into. These are going to be two talented quarterbacks. I see this being a shootout, but one that the Ravens come out on top at home.
I see this being a shootout as well, but that makes me look at the Bills and say, okay, they still have Josh Allen. They still have Stephon Diggs. And I think that matchup against the Ravens defense, I just like a little bit more than Lamar Jackson and his receiving core compared to a banged up Bills defense. I don't entirely know the personnel. They do expect a couple of guys they've had out to be back in this week at last check, but while the Bills' defense is banged up, I think Josh Allen can exploit the Ravens' defense a little bit more than Lamar will be able to for Buffalo.
Our first flip split of the week there. We got the 1-2 Washington Commanders at the 2-1 Cowboys. Jenna, the Cooper Rush party is on right now, but I'm not buying it. Carson Wentz, the Commanders, they're getting the dub this week. I think the Cowboys, Cooper Rush is about to turn back into a pumpkin. They got the Commanders. I like their defensive front. They'll be getting after him. I also think Carson Wentz can do a little bit of damage to this defense, but the Cowboys defense is nasty. Still, I think Washington wins on the road. What you got?
Wow, you are saying the pumpkin turns back into a pumpkin, and it's not even October yet, Chris.
It's not.
You're rushing the holidays here a little bit.
I am.
I'm going with Dallas in this one just because things are looking good for them. And I think, Cooper Rush is finding CeeDee Lamb. That catch on Monday Night Football against the Giants was beautiful. I can't stop watching it. Again, this is coming from a Giants fan. But I like what they're doing. I still don't know who any of these teams really are, but I just, after seeing what Philly did to Washington and how limited they were, is the Cowboys defense, the Eagles defense, not nearly enough, but I still think that this is a weird low scoring game that Dallas gets the win.
I hear you on that. Seahawks at Lions, both 1-2. Seahawks have had their moments, but the Lions, I think, are a more competitive team this year. I like their run game with Swift and Williams. I think that gets them over the top. Lions at home.
Yeah, I'm going with the Lions. When do we pick the Lions 2 weeks in a row?
What's up with that? Where are we?
Happening?
What?
They're kind of fun? Do I dare say, are the Lions fun?
Are they fun?
We're going with it, though. So, yeah, I'm going with the Lions in this one. Seattle just has too many question marks for me.
I'm with you on that. 1-2 Chargers at 0-2-1 Texans. The Chargers have been disappointing. Justin Herbert looks like he's going to play this game. And Keenan Allen looks like he's going to play this game. But, man, there's a lot of hurt-up players on that defensive side of the ball. I'm riding with the Chargers one last time. But there's some parts of me that think that the Texans might sneak this one at home. Who you got, Jenna?
I was going to say, if they're playing any team that was like mid-range competitive, and not that the Texans entirely aren't, but if they were just a team that I'm like, oh yeah, this is a team I expect to make it to the playoffs this year, could be a fringe team, someone like, I dare to say, the Cowboys, then I'd say this game might be a little bit more tough to pick. But I just think even with all the injuries the Chargers are dealing with, I think they're just a more complete roster than the Texans, and I like what their offense can do when even they're at 60 or 70%. So yeah, I'm going with the Chargers here.
The 1-2 Titans at the 1-1-1 Colts. There's a team that is 1-1-1 in the NFL. But hey, they're the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going with the Titans, though. I think they had their get right moment last week. They're ready to ride it into this week. I think Derrick Henry gets them going. The Colts, they had their get right moment last week, but I'm not so sure that they're actually going to get right. But this is Jonathan Taylor versus Derrick Henry. It's going to be a ground game. Whose ground game can take over first? I'm going with Henry, though.
Yeah, this was a game that was really tough to pick, and looking at the numbers and kind of comparing things, I think I'm going with the Titans only because, again, I do look at Derrick Henry, and I think that that offense has more capabilities to kind of dominate in terms of the run game just because of the lack of consistency we've seen from the Colts. And you look at last week, it was almost like, okay, did the Colts win the game, or did the Chiefs just kind of shoot themselves in the foot a bunch of times? I think both can be true, but yeah, I like the Titans more in this one, but this is a toss-up, and I think this has the makings also to be a really close game.
2-1, the Bears against your New York Football Giants, also 2-1. I'm going with the Bears, though. I like their defense. I think they're going to give a problem for Daniel Jones. Your Giants, they've burned me one too many times. I'm done with them. They are over. They're finished with. I'm going with Justin Fields and the Bears. Who you got?
See, I didn't pick the Giants last week, and I knew it was going to happen, and I'm not saying I'm psychic by any means. I'm going with the Giants, question mark. I always question when I go with the Giants. I just think that Chicago's still kind of putting things together. I think the loss of Sterling Shepard for the Giants is going to be a big one with how fantastic he's looked. But yeah, if they can continue to utilize Saquon the way they can utilize him, and again, talk about shooting yourselves in the foot, they had the chances against the Cowboys, and could not capitalize. So I think that's kind of one of those, all right, you know, we take it on the chin type thing and keep moving on. And I think Brian Daboll is really leading this team in a good direction. So I'm going with the Giants, but I'm going to regret that decision, I'm sure.
Viewers and listeners of the Locked On Steelers podcast, you have not watched a Giants game until you've watched it with Jenna Harner. It's another level of intensity, I tell you. Next game, though, 2-1 Jaguars at 3-0 Eagles. Are the Jaguars good, Jenna? Because they looked really good last week and the week before that.
I don't know who this team is, and I think they have a lot of really good things to build on. I think this is going to be a competitive game. I think a lot of people are writing the Jags off coming into this one. I still think the Eagles are going to win just because Jalen Hurts has been looking fantastic. That defense, which we expected, has been looking really good too, and they've been kind of, you know, gelling more and more and building every week. Yeah, I'm going with the Eagles, but don't count Trevor Lawrence and the Jags out to make this a really, really, really fun game.
And these are also two talented defensive fronts that are going to be playing. Watch out for Josh Allen on the side of the Jaguars. And Jordan Davis has re-energized that defensive front with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave with the Eagles. I think this could be a very good game, maybe on the game of the week category. On to the 4 o'clockers. We both have the Eagles there. 1-2 Cardinals at 1-2 Panthers. Honestly, these are two disappointing teams. I'm going with the Cardinals because I just think they have more talent on them. But, man, if Kyler Murray loses to Baker Mayfield, sound the alarms in Arizona.
There's some sort of OU joke you can make there or something.
There is an OU joke you can make there.
I'm sure it kind of will fall right in perfectly. But yeah, I look at this matchup and I'm just like, which offense do I like better? And I think the Cardinals have a better offense, obviously, just with Kyler Murray. But also, they are getting James Conner back, I believe, if I read that correctly. I believe they anticipate him to be back in this one, look to kind of get him going to some of the levels he was at last year. So, yeah, I'm going with the Cards, but this might be ugly.
This could be ugly. 1-2 Patriots at 2-1 Packers. Mac Jones looked like it was rough. maybe it wasn't. We don't know for certain. Last week, he had an injury late last week against the Ravens. But I'm going with the Packers. They're playing good football ever since that week one, you know, terrible loss to the Vikings. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's back.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep kind of going back and forth in just terms of reports that I'm hearing, because you see one thing that Mac Jones obviously is dealing with, a severe high ankle sprain. And then there's reports from his teammates that they anticipate he might be able to play this weekend. And that didn't seem possible. You kind of go back and forth. I don't, you know, no matter who's at quarterback, I think this Patriots offense just still has too many things they need to figure out. They were getting some things going. It just hasn't worked out entirely, I think, the way that they envisioned. So I'm going with the Packers. This one had a huge line the last time I looked too. I don't think it's going to be, it was like 10 and a half. I don't think it's going to be that drastic, but I think this is a game that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers dominate.
It's all right. They're all Aaron guys that play for Green Bay on the offensive side of the ball. So it's pretty close. One hands the ball off to the other. You know, it's all relative. But moving on, for last 4 o'clock here, Broncos at Raiders. Broncos 2-1. Raiders 0-3. You know, I thought both of these teams would be better than they have been so far. I know the Broncos record is 2-1, but man, they haven't looked great at 2-1. No. And nope. I think the Raiders have caught some very bad breaks so far. I think this has to be this is the law of average pick for me. I'm going with the Raiders at home. I just can't see them going 0-4. And I don't think that the Broncos are consistent enough to earn my pick here. I'm going with the Raiders.
Yeah, no, I think the Broncos, every time I watch the game, I feel like I mentioned shooting themselves in the foot at least twice this segment. So let's keep it up. The Broncos shoot themselves in the foot almost every drive, it feels like.
Yep,
like there's fumbles, there's penalties, there's, you know, passes that should not have been passes by Russell Wilson, all that stuff. I think the Raiders get their first win of the season in this one. It's not going to be a pretty game, another ugly one. But, yeah, I think it just law of averages, like you were saying. I think this just kind of evens out, and I don't think that the Broncos are their 2-1 record by any means.
Sunday Night Football, 2-1 Chiefs and 2-1 Buccaneers. It's Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady. Both these teams coming off a loss, though. The Chiefs more embarrassing against the Colts. The Buccaneers, though, losing a tough one to the Packers. I'm going with the Chiefs simply because I think that their offense can be better than this Buccaneers offense right now. I think Tom Brady is on the struggle bus with the weapons that he has available to him, and I think Patrick Mahomes will be able to do enough against this defense to get the win on the road.
Yeah, the injury bug has plagued the Tampa Bay offense to start the season. It's been really rough going. I'm not sure I could name their two starting receivers at this point, just because I feel like everybody's out for them and everybody's hurt. You know, you look at the Chiefs, I think they're a more complete team in terms of just health in general. I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to be really fired up. I think Travis Kelce is also going to be insanely fired up after that loss to the Colts last week. So yeah, I'm going with the Chiefs. This will be an entertaining game, though.
It will be. It absolutely will be. Monday Night Football, last pick before we get to the Steelers we cover here. 2-1 Rams at 1-2 Niners. Rams, they haven't looked like the Super Bowl champs that they were last year, but they're good enough to beat the Niners the way they are right now. Jimmy Garoppolo is struggling. That defense has got some injuries to it. I'm going with the Rams on the road winning this one in San Fran.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what San Fran is entirely doing. I think they're underperforming, and they have a lot more success on their team that should be showing that we're just not entirely seeing. So I think LA wins this one. This will be intriguing, though. I feel like I say that a lot about these games, but I think this is going to be kind of one of those interesting matchups to kind of see, okay, who is this Niners team? Can we see a little bit of their identity? Are they going to rely on their defense as much? And for the Rams, are they going to continue to find consistency and say, hey, you know, we are still the defending Super Bowl champs here. Watch what we can do. Stop, you know, not that people aren't entirely taking them, quote unquote, seriously, but just stop doubting us, I guess.
Agreed. We'll get to Steelers versus Jets at Acrisure Stadium. Our picks, preview, final predictions right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Jenna Harner of Channel 11 WXI. Jenna, it's time to pick Steelers Jets now. The Steelers are 3.5-point favorites, according to betonline.net right now. But we are looking at how this game could play out. The Steelers have made it clear they need to do a lot of things, you know, better this game. Matt Canada Was a bit terse on Thursday with how he was talking to Pittsburgh media, and even kind of like, you know, recanted. He was like, "Hey, I'm sorry. Just, you know, I'm trying not." You know, he's obviously trying not to throw people under the bus when it comes to the Steelers. But again, this is a Jets team that's not good. You know, they have talent. They're certainly there. You know, Sauce Gardner's at cornerback. Garrett Wilson's at wide receiver. You know, Zach Wilson has a strong arm. There's times that he has flashes there. Quinnen Williams and that defensive front have talent, but they are not together, and they haven't looked together much this year. They had a last second comeback win with Joe Flacco over the Browns in week two. But this is a game that I think the Steelers need to find a way to control. Again, I think it comes down to blitzing Zach Wilson, the pass rushers winning their matchups. Again, when he's blitzed, he has a 44.7 completion percentage. And also when he's under pressure, he is a 29.3 completion percentage. That just shows you what happens. If you could get to Zach Wilson, you'll find success. Jenna, give me your prediction, your final score, and your turning point. What point of the game, what factor of the game turns this into the way of the favor of the team that you're picking to win?
Well, it's crazy to say that we're in week four and this already feels like a must-win game for the Steelers. So as much as they know the seriousness of this game, I do think that they come out on top, especially just because this is kind of one of those perfect times to quote-unquote hit the reset button and say, hey, yep, look, we know we're still talented. We know what we still have in our room. And we're going to show the fans that are saying, hey, what's up with the offense? Hey, why isn't the defense performing to the levels that we expect them to be performing to? So I think the Steelers win this game. It's not going to be anything crazy, flashy, or pretty. I do think it'll be like a 24-13 Steelers type of victory. I think we see more from the offense. That's all week. Everything we've heard from Mitch Trubisky, Deontay Johnson, Matt Canada, George Pickens, all of these guys talking about, you know, we've heard it. They're tuning out the noise, but they know there is noise and they know there's so many things that they need to figure out. So I think the offense puts up more points. It's not going to be anything spectacular. I think the defense makes Zach Wilson's afternoon a really rough one. I think the turning point in the game for me is going to be if the Jets do kind of put together some semblance of a nice drive, they score, it's like 10-7 Steelers around that. The offense coming back on the field and sustaining a drive, not going three and out, getting, you know, even marching down the field the entire way, taking a field goal, knocking like 7 minutes off the clock. I think that's going to be the biggest thing, is seeing if this offense can respond to a drive if the Jets are keeping things close in the early point. So to me, that seems like it'll be the turning point. But yeah, I think the Steelers should win this game. And if they don't, next week, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
We will. We will. I'm with you, though. I say the Steelers win a little bit closer. I'm saying 2016. I think the Steelers, their defense controls a lot of this game. Their defense gets the offense some short fields, and that's where they get to capitalize. But I do agree with you. I think that there is a point here where the offense will need to make a stand, have a good drive, and you'll get it this week. And it'll be like the first building block that people will be able to say, aha, there is some hope with this offense. Even George Pickens, who has been visibly frustrated on the field during games with his lack of targets, even he was saying, you know, it feels like they're close. It feels like there's something special brewing with the Steelers offense. And I know Steelers fans are probably rolling their eyes and hearing that with what they've seen of the offense. But I'm telling you, there are open guys in this offense. There are opportunities for plays to be made here. And this is not a well put together and coherent Jets defense that is always taking away the open man. I think this is a week where the defense gives them enough opportunities to succeed and they take advantage of it. I think the Jets get a late score and then you might see Zach Wilson on for a final drive for a chance to win it. But I think this is a game where Minkah Fitzpatrick closes it out with another interception and the Steelers find a way to win 2016. So we're both giving the Steelers and the 3.5 points. We're also, seems like, I think we're both taking the under here because the over under is set at 41.5 on BetOnline. So even with that number being pretty low for an NFL game, we're saying they both stay under. So there you have it. We both picked the Steelers there. Jenna, I believe our only splits of the week, if we're going back here, I think I picked the Ravens. You picked the Bills. I picked the Commanders. You picked the Cowboys. And I think that's it when I go back through all our games here.
I think so. I think we're right up. There might be one more. I feel like we only had a couple differences, though. So this will be a fun one.
This will be a fun one. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. Jenna, thank you so much for joining us here. Always appreciate having you on the Friday episode. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Well, it is always a pleasure to join you on a Friday. You can find me on Twitter at JennaHarner11, Instagram Jenna_Harner, and on WPXI throughout the week and the weekend. But definitely, if you're listening to this on Friday, tune in Friday night, whether you're in Pittsburgh, just, you know, Channel 11 locally, or online on WPXI streaming app, and as well as our website, you can stream live. Chris and I will be hosting Skylights, our Friday night football coverage. You got a lot of fun, exciting games this week, so definitely tune in for that. And then we'll have all your coverage from Acrisure Stadium, Steelers versus Jets on Sunday.
Absolutely. Do check us out. It's going to be great. And do check out Jenna and everything they do at Channel 11. It is awesome there. Absolutely. Thanks, Jenna, for coming on. I'm Chris Carter, host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Carter Critiques. You can also read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I cover the University of Pittsburgh's athletic teams, especially football, basketball right now, football gearing up. They've got a big game, Georgia Tech, Saturday night at Acrisure Stadium, the night before the Steelers play the Jets also at Acrisure Stadium. So it's going to be a busy weekend in the North Shore of Pittsburgh. Check it out, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Also check out Locked On Steelers. I'll be back Sunday night / Monday morning giving you all my reactions here about the Pittsburgh Steelers game against the New York Jets. We'll see you then. Steelers Nation, have a great weekend.